welcome everyone to the Apocalypse Podcast. Hey, I'm Steve. He is
Lawrence Van Beek.
Yes, he is. I can verify that because I can see him and you can't. But I get to experience the full Larry. Oh, wow. Okay. Anyway, Larry, we're going to look at... I'm just going to skip through it quick. We're going to look
at... And we lost another one of our loyal fans, listeners.
We're down to one. Anyway, no. Larry, we're going to look at Acts 23. Tell us a little bit about Acts 23, would you?
We are... This is actually a... Paul is doing stuff at this point in time that you thought he should have done all along. And he's gonna come before the Sanhedrin and he's gonna work the crowd. And it's you're surprised. You almost want to say, why didn't you do this earlier? You knew this all along, but now he is doing it. Yeah. He is doing it. He just in the last chapter, he said to the Roman guard, Would you do this to a Roman citizen? Remember, the guy was surprised.
Right.
And he said, I don't know why Paul didn't do that all along. And now he's going to work with the Sanhedrin. Remember, he was a Pharisee, and so he knows all about the Sanhedrin.
Right.
The Sanhedrin is the Jewish court of law.
Right, right.
It's made up of Pharisees and Sadducees. There are lawyers there, and Paul just works the group.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
All right, folks, so as we are apt to do, but am I going to read? You want me to read down to 12 there or 11?
Yeah, go ahead. Read right down to 11, then we'll just talk through it.
Let's do it. Okay, folks, we're going to blast through 11 verses here. Acts 23, starting at verse 1. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." At this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Yeah. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, that you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." Those who were standing near Paul said, "How dare you insult God's high priest?" Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the brother of your people.'" Or maybe the ruler.
There. Maybe stop there, Stevie.
Yeah.
The ruler of your people.
Yeah, the ruler of your people.
Your ruler. So, because it is kind of good. You want to kind of catch it right away, don't you? Ananias, Paul comes in and he says something. Ananias orders that he be struck on the mouth. The guy punches him right in the mouth.
Which I just love that. I know. Who does that? Who does that?
I know. And then Paul as much as swears at him, eh? He says, "God strike you, you whitewashed wall." I don't even know what else to say. We'll leave it at that. Keep this thing PG. And then he says, "So you sit there." It has to be PG because, of course, we're talking about religious things, so it can't be just G.
Right.
Yeah, and sometimes they rate it R if you're talking about religious stuff. Do you remember that?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So Paul says, how can you sit there and according to the law, yet you violate it by commanding that I be struck? And the guy says, well, he's the high priest. And then Paul says, oh, I'm sorry. I did not know this useless excuse of a man was your new high priest. I did not know our prime minister was so small and
feeble. Yeah, it's like, wow. Woo.
I know.
Forgive me. Never mind.
So he hardly backs off. And then in 6, it goes on just to show how sharp Paul is here.
Yeah. Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others were Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe in all these things. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. "We find nothing wrong with this man, oh Paul," they said. "What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome."
Isn't that fabulous?
Oh, Paul played him like a cheap fiddle.
Yeah, he certainly did. So recognizing that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're both in the room. They totally disagree. The Pharisees in Paul's time, now this all changes in AD 70 with the fall of Jerusalem.
Okay.
But in Paul's time, the Pharisees would have had the ear of the people. The people would have, they would have loved the Pharisees. The Sadducees were the wealthy landowners who had the ear of Rome at that point in time. Okay. And usually the high priest was a Sadducee.
Okay.
And as you can see, they're very different in their doctrines, right?
Yeah.
The Sadducees only use the first five books of the Bible, of the Old Testament, and then the Pharisees use the entire scripture, the Old Testament as we use it, different number of books, but the same books. Like they had 22 or 24, we have 39, but they're the same, right?
Right.
They just they're our minor prophets are 12, and their prophets are just one book. Those kind of differences.
Right.
But they also believed in angels and spirits and the resurrection. And Paul says, listen, you know, I'm here because of these things. And just like you said, the Pharisees love it. They absolutely love this man at this point.
Yeah, yeah. He's a genius.
There is nothing wrong with this man. And then I love this. What if a spirit or an angel sent him? So,
yeah.
So basically saying, screw you, Sadducees.
yeah. What if, yes. Yeah. The very thing you don't believe in, what if that happened?
yeah. So like you said, he plays them like a cheap fiddle. He works the crowd. Remember, the other disciples were before this same Sanhedrin.
Right.
And they were beaten and let go because they couldn't find anything wrong with them. But Paul on the other way, he divides them. And then the soldiers come in and they take him out, and he's got to go. Now, remember, the Lord talks to Paul here. Mm. And Paul actually hears God talking and saying, you've testified about me in Jerusalem. You're going to testify in Rome. So this is the preparation that he's going to go from Jerusalem to Rome. And that's the movement of the gospel all the way to Rome.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So folks, picking it up at verse 12 then. The next morning, some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priests and the elders and said, "We have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets here." But when the son of Paul's sister heard this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the commander. He has something to tell him." So he took him to the commander. The centurion said, "Paul, the prisoner, sent for me and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you." I just love that Luke goes into all this detail.
I know.
Sometimes you just skip over huge things, Luke, and then you're going to tell me that in 19, the commander took the young man by the hand, drew him aside, and asked, "What is it that you want to tell me?" He said, "Some Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin tomorrow on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about him. Do not give in to them, because there are more than 40 men waiting in ambush for him. They have taken an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They are ready now, waiting for your consent to their request." The commander dismissed the young man with this warning: "Do not tell anyone that you have reported this to me."
So, like you said, Luke just takes a long time to talk about this thing, right? About them finding out about the plot. The cool thing here is, hey, you notice this isn't very much different than the way the news reports the Middle East these days.
Yeah.
You know, like the way they treat each other, you know, the way they handle things. It hasn't changed much in a couple thousand years.
Right.
No, it has in Jerusalem. It has in Israel. But these guys, they take a pledge that they're not going to eat or drink anything until they kill Paul. So you know, there's 40 guys that must have died because.
Yeah, that's what I was going to think. Well,
yeah.
Cheers to you, everyone.
Yeah. I think at some point they'd have to say, "Yeah, we're going to go back on the fast."
Yeah. Ixnay on the old.
So, but God is there. Remember, God told him, "You're going to go to Rome." And so when these guys go to kill him, Luke, like you said, spends a long time talking about how the commander found out and then transfer Paul's secretly in the next few verses.
Yep. All right, picking it up at 23. Then he called two of his centurions and ordered them, "Get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen, not just a small amount of people, to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. Provide horses for Paul so that he may be taken safely to Governor Felix." He wrote a letter as follows. Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency Governor Felix. Greetings. This man was seized by the Jews. And
this
they
is
were
not the cat in the cartoons.
By yeah, that's right. It's not Felix the cat. And they were about to kill him. But I came with my troops and rescued him, for I learned that he is a Roman citizen. I wanted to know why they were accusing him. So I brought him to their Sanhedrin and found the accusation had to do with questions about their law. But there was no charge against him that deserved death or imprisonment. When I was once informed of a plot to be carried out against the man, I sent him to you at once, and I also ordered his accusers to present to you their case against him. So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris?
Yeah, it's like a tasty thing you make.
Yes, yes. Oh, Antipastris. Yes, I had that at a little Greek place there around the corner.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next day they let the
cavalry. And it would be a little Greek place around the corner.
Oh, it really would be, wouldn't it? The next day they let the cavalry go on with them, while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, like literally a cavalry, they sent Paul.
Yeah.
They delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked what province he was from. Learning that he was from Sicilia, he said, "I will hear your case when your accusers get here." Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace.
Which is kind of neat too, eh?
Yeah.
So basically we're preparing to send Paul to Rome.
Right.
And which I still think this book is about. It's about the motion of the gospel. Luke was the motion of Jesus to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Acts is the motion of the gospel and from Jerusalem to the utmost parts of the world. Mm. It's the tying together of Gentile Christians and Jewish Christians.
Right.
And this is what's happening to Paul. So they write Felix and send a cavalry with them, right?
Yeah.
Calvary with them.
Yeah,
this is not the end of life of Brian.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, it's 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen, for crying out loud. I mean, this was no small guy. Like, surely someone would have got, who's leaving tonight? Like, this is
Oh, it's a prisoner. But remember, he's a Roman citizen. You don't fool around with a Roman citizen.
Right. You
know? It's like at one time pulling the might of the United States against you.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, maybe even now. Maybe now as well.
Right. Right.
So,
okay.
So anyway, so they take him and they get him out and they get him to where they're going and put him up in Herod's palace, which is just terrific. So now we're ready for the next round of Beatrice and those people coming down to talk to Paul.
Right.
And
right.
He's going to get one more chance to tell his story. He told it in 9, he told it again in 22, and he's going to tell it one more time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's interesting how God set the table for this all to happen here, right? Like you said, Paul could have gone and done this a lot earlier and possibly have gotten out of this whole thing.
He could have stayed out of Jerusalem.
Yep.
He knew what was going to happen when he got to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
If God told me, you know, I want you to go to Iraq and you'll probably die there, I would say, yeah, I'm not going.
Did you say Iraq? Because I'm pretty sure I heard you say Iowa.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I really want to show that I can go to Club Med and not, you know, not be materialistic.
This is my testing ground. That, you really did mean Iraq. Oh.
Yeah. Well, and
shoot.
and he's come back now. Remember when he was in Corinth, he was scared, and God had to say, "Look, no one's going to harm you here." Remember, he spent 2 years in
right.
Corinth. And now he's come back to Jerusalem, and his resolve is back.
Yep.
He's also playing them, and God is actually keeping him safe here, which is kind of nice.
Right, right.
He's not getting beaten like he was in the early days.
Right, right, yeah. Right.
And yep. And anybody else would probably say, well, you know, he was kind of stupid in the early days, and now he's getting smarter. But we know that's not the case. We know he knew all of this stuff all along.
Yep, yep, yep.
He could have played the Roman card at any point. He could have played the Jewish card at any point. He could have played the Pharisee card at any point.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He didn't until, I don't know, until God wanted him to.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell from narrative.
Yeah. 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 Just we assume he's following the voice of God. So
that's the part that we'd like to say is happening. And and Luke does say it, because God says to him, look, you're going to go to Rome. And in the next chapter, you're going to find the guy say, oh, man, I'd have let him go. If he had not appealed to Caesar, I would have just let him go.
Yeah.
But I can't because he appealed. And he appealed so that he could get to Rome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. But thanks. That was good.
I enjoyed it too, Stevie.
Yeah. So, folks, you know, I know we took several weeks off, but we're back. We're back. We're back at it. We're excited. We're here for you. And for the foreseeable future, we shouldn't have too many more breaks. But anyway, so glad that you joined us on the latest edition of the Apocalypse Podcast. We'll be back in a week's time with yet another chapter of Acts. Was it the second chapter of Acts? Was that a Christian band? It was.
It really was.
Yeah, second chapter of Acts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, am I showing my age there? Okay, folks, thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time on the Apocalypse Podcast.